The majority of Christians agree that the best thing to do for Christians on a Sunday is being at church, praising God, hearing from His Word. But where many Christians would disagree is on how those things are done. And then one of the big disagreements is in the question of what is appropriate or what is appropriate to be preached, like on how preaching should be done. Now, some would think preach only the New Testament. The Old Testament is irrelevant. Some will even go as far as saying preach only from the Gospels. No, we don't need to hear about Paul and what he thought. Others will even go further than that. They would say, preach only from the words that Jesus has spoken, like not even the narrative around it. Or others would say, why preach from Bible books? You should only preach about relevant topics. You know, preach about money, preach about abortion, sexuality, like race, gender, relationships, like about things that people understand. Well, we are a church who believes that we should teach from every part of the Bible because it's the Word of God. And every part has something to teach us, even when it's not politically correct, even when there are things that are uncomfortable with us. But even if most of us would agree with that in principle, there are still some parts that we prefer to hear some preaching than others. Like especially a book like Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is one of those books where there are a lot of parts that will make many of us would go like, what should I do with this? What is that? And like some would even say, like if we have Jesus, do we still need to learn from that? Well, today we are starting a series of many weeks in the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy teaches us about how our God is the Lord of love. But today what we are going to do, we are going to look at the first 8 verses of Deuteronomy. And these verses will help us to prepare for this series. And as we look at those verses, we will see 3 reasons to listen to preaching from Deuteronomy. So please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, which is on page 178. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. Somebody will bring you a Bible. So we are on Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's on page 178. Anyone can still hear some page turning? Good. Good. I think we're all here. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan. That is, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all the words, all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Edrei had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And this is the word of God. So here is Deuteronomy chapter 1. Now, as we look at this, it will give us three reasons to listen to preaching from Deuteronomy. And the first one we see is that these are words spoken to us. These are words spoken to us. Like, is everybody on WhatsApp here? Like, is everybody? Like, just give me a nod if you're on WhatsApp now. Just say no. Yes, no. Like, people are just like looking at me, like not moving. Yes, yes. Okay, that's good. Like, I'm not talking about something that nobody knows. It's good. So yeah, WhatsApp is a great thing. Like, it's such a good way to communicate for people like around the world. Like, you know, you don't have to waste your minutes and that type of things. But the problem with WhatsApp, you know, sometimes you are on one of those WhatsApp groups, and then you have like two people having that conversation between them, and you're like, why am I reading this? What's the point? Well, we can feel the same about a book like Deuteronomy, but Deuteronomy is not like this. They are words spoken to us. Have a look at verse 1. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness in the east of the Jordan, that is the Arabah opposite of Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dizabeth, all of this. So this is how Deuteronomy starts, by telling us that what we are about to read are the words that Moses spoke to Israel. Now actually this is the first sentence here is the original title of Deuteronomy. Like, this is the words that Moses spoke to Israel. So that's what Deuteronomy is actually called. But Deuteronomy means the second law. Now, this might refer to the fact that this is the second time that the law is given to Israel. Or it can also refer to that this is the law that is given to the second generation of those who were in the wilderness. But Deuteronomy doesn't really work as a second law. No, it works more as an application of what has happened previously to Israel and of what is about to take place after that. How Israel is meant to live in response to how God has loved them. Now, from Genesis, we see how God chose Abraham, just one man among many others, and he called him to himself. He promised him to make his name great, that he will have many descendants, and that his descendants will have the land of Canaan, the promised land. And then by the time we get to Exodus, so the descendants of Abraham, there are many, as God will say, but then there's a problem. They are slaved in Egypt. Then God calls Moses to go and deliver them out of Egypt, and they end up in the wilderness. And that's where they are given the law. And that's where they are for all the book of Leviticus and Numbers. But then one thing we see in the book of Numbers, that's just the book before Deuteronomy, is that the first generation rebel against God. So they remain in the wilderness until that generation died. And by the end of the book of Numbers, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They have made it next to Moab, almost ready to enter the promised land that was like promised to Abraham. And if you were to look at the very last verse of the book of Numbers, that's Numbers 36, verse 13, it says this. These are speaking of what has just happened, speaking of what has just happened before, it says this. These are the commands and regulations the Lord gave through Moses to the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. So this is where the book of Numbers ends. On some commons, given by Moses to Israel in Moab, and this Texas to Deuteronomy. These are the words that Moses spoke to Israel. So what we are about to hear, there are sermons of Moses with Israel as an audience while they are in the wilderness. Now, the thing we know is that the words that were spoken to at the time they were spoken to, but why are they written? Like, who was meant to read these words? Well, the version of Deuteronomy that we have is likely not to be the same exact version that those who listened to Moses had. And because there are some comments that we see, and especially toward the end of the book, that shows us that the first readers of our version were people who lived sometime after. So if you were to look in chapter at the end of Deuteronomy, in chapter 34, verse 10, you would see this is what it says: "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, who knew the Lord face to face." So this shows that a lot of years has gone by between the death of Moses and the time of our version. But it wouldn't be just a random person who would have added those things. Like, this would be somebody who knows his stuff, somebody who knows what's going on. There's likely to be a prophet, like maybe someone like maybe Jeremiah, who lived in the days of the King Josiah, where when the law was found and the entire kingdom repented. Or it could also be someone like Ezra, who lived after the exile when they were rebuilding Jerusalem. But regardless of that, what it shows is that the word of Moses spoke to Israel in the days were still to be spoken to Israel in the days of Josiah, or in the days of Ezra, even though the implications were different. As those who are in Christ, we are the new Israel. And as the new Israel, we are God's people. So we are to look at these words that Moses has spoken to Israel back then as words that are spoken to us today. Because Moses was not just, speaking his own opinion, what's better, tea and coffee, that type of thing. Now, Moses was speaking the eternal word of God, which still stands in each generation. So that's a good reason to keep coming over the coming weeks to learn from Deuteronomy, because there are words spoken to us. This is not a random conversation in your WhatsApp group, like about two people that you know nothing about. This is not some junk mail that you just receive randomly. Now, those are words written for us. And will this be the way that you will approach Deuteronomy? Or are you just going to approach Deuteronomy just looking for a history lesson? Like making comments like, "Oh, I wish the preacher said more about the Arabah." Or are you going to switch off internally until we are back to the New Testament? As weird as that sound, those words are spoken. Those words spoken to Israel are words spoken to us. So we are to get ourselves ready to let these words penetrate our souls and change the way we look at life. And it might mean praying before we hear from it, asking God to prepare our hearts to receive his words. It might mean praying for us, who will be preaching, that we will not just be preparing just a bunch of lectures, but that we will seek to be messengers of what God has to teach to us through this book. Because there are words spoken to us. And as the first reason to pay attention, to listen to preaching from Deuteronomy. And the second one is that these words are vital and relevant instruction to us. These words are vital and relevant instruction to us. Now, when you are a child growing up, there are two types of indirect instructions. You know, you can be in a friend's house and you can hear their parents telling them off. Now, you can choose to listen to this or not. You know, that's on you. That might not make a big difference in your life. But then the other type is that you are in your home and you hear your sibling being told off by your parents. Now, this you want to pay attention to if you don't want to be the next person being told off. And Deuteronomy is like that. Like the second one. It's like it's instruction given to somebody else, but yet that is vital and relevant to us. Look at verse 3. In the 48th years, on the first day in the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites, all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. Now here we are told when Moses spoke these words. This is in the 48th years on the first day of the 11th month. Now basically we are at the end of the 40 years the Israelites were in the wilderness. But then look at verse 4. There's more. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and at Edrei had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. Now these words spoken by Moses were spoken just after Moses defeated two kings, Sihon and Og. And we can read about that in Numbers chapter 21. But after those war happened, we read in Numbers 22, verse 1, so like literally just after, we see that that's the moment when Israel got into where they are, in Deuteronomy, when they went in the plains of Moab. But why is that important? Well, if these words were spoken in the 48th years of Israel in the wilderness, when they just got to Moab, well, it means that these are words that were spoken just before Israel entered the promised land. This alone changes the weight of these words. It gives them some uniqueness and some urgency to them. So when we see these words in Deuteronomy, we should see that Moses is being a little bit like a parrot, you know, before they, you know, when they take their child to like a theme park, you know, they start to, you know, when they give them instructions, so like, you know, oh, once we get there, make sure you listen, make sure you behave, be nice to people, you know, don't start screaming if you don't get an ice cream. This is what is going on here. The words that Moses is about to speak, they are instruction that Israel needs once they want to enter the promised land. Those are important words for them. But look at verse 3 again. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. So what does it say about this word that Moses has spoken? Well, first of all, it's from God. That's, we assume that. But also, it also says that it is concerning the Israelites. It's about them. So it has some relevance to them. So even years later, if, you know, Israelites can't go, Deuteronomy means nothing to me. Like, it's about them. These are words that are vital and relevant for God's people. But does it have the same importance and relevance to us for Christians in 2022? Like, we are not Israelites. Well, as far as I know, most of us are not Israelites about to enter the promised land. Why would we need these instructions? Well, for the same reasons that it was important and relevant to later generations of Israelites who didn't even live in the promised land, it's because those words are instructions from God, the one who saved them and loved them, who made them who they are. Instructions from him reveal his character. It shows the things that he desires from his people, the things that he approves of, and the things he disapproves of. It teaches us more practically how to live lives that are pleasing to him. But for us who are in Christ, it does more than that. So it shows us how Christ has fulfilled the law. It shows us the blessing that Jesus has given us through his obedient life. It shows us the curses that we deserve, but that Jesus has taken through his death on the cross. And he points us to the greater Moses, to the greater servant, prophet, or mediator, the one who will live forever, who, unlike Moses, he will take us to the promised rest. So yes, Deuteronomy is a hard book. There are things that make us uncomfortable, things that we wish were not there, but it's vital and relevant instruction for us. And not because following these laws and rules will save us, but because a lot of these rules are rules that Jesus had to obey for our salvation. So can we really claim to delight in the cross of Christ if we don't care about what he had to do to be perfectly obedient? But also, a lot of these instructions are still teaching us the right thing, the right way to view God, the right way to be as a community of believers, the best way to treat people, the right way to approach money, and many other things. And they are also filled with warnings, many things that will challenge our approach to faith. So these words spoken to Israel are vital and relevant instruction to us. And that's the second reason to pay attention, to listen to preaching from Deuteronomy. But the third reason is, well, they are words calling us to action. They are words calling us to action. Now, someone I knew once got his car towed, and I happened to be around that day. And then, you know, I remember just going out, speaking to the people who were about to tow the car. Oh, don't do that. Leave the car alone. All that stuff. And the guy who was there was like, nah, sorry, mate. Like, the guy should have just paid the tax. And, you know, that's what it was. And, you know, then after this, I went back in and I spoke to the guy. I was like, oh, you know, they took your car. They said you should have paid your taxes. And the guy told me, he's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, I received all those letters telling me to pay taxes, but I didn't really care. What Deuteronomy is like that letter that my friend ignored. They are words calling us to action, so we shouldn't ignore it. Look at verse 5. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law. So now we are getting to Moses' sermon. He's about to expound the law. He's about to break it down for them to lay out these vital and relevant instructions. Now let's see what he has to say. Verse 6. The Lord said to us at Horeb, you stay long enough at this mountain, break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. Now let's remember the scene again. Let's remember where we are. So Moses is in Moab talking to Israel. And before entering, and they're here just before entering the promised land. And here Moses talk about what has happened back in Horeb. And that is that is Mount Sinai. That's the same place. But after they stay there in Horeb for a while, God told them to break camp, to advance to the land of the Amorites, to go to all the neighboring people. Basically, the time for camping and just being around singing songs, it's over. Now it's time to take actions. These words that are spoken are not just empty words. They called Israel to act, to stop whatever they are doing, and to go to places. But these words are spoken for a reason. Look at verse 8. See, I have given you this land. This is God saying this. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to their descendants after them. So Israel are to act, but not randomly. They are to act according to the promise that God has made. Look at the verse. Look at verse 8. See, the land is already given to them. So they just have to go and take possession. It's already theirs. Now they are also to act according to God's faithfulness. Like God swore, have you seen this? Like God swore that he would give that land to their fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. So these words call Israel to take actions in response to what God has already said and done. It's not random. Now, this is what is said to Israel, to go and take possession of the promised land. But how is a comment to Israel about a land that is distant to us can be spoken to us today? Like, should we go to Palestine and, take possession of the land? This is what we should do after the service? Just jump on a plane and start to fight for the land? No. Now, once again, these words were not written for those who were listening to Moses on that day, or for those who took the land. They were preserved for later generations. Those who lived in the land and those who came much later. So the implications would have to be different in each generation. So if there were people from the generation of King Josiah, you would have seen this as, our ancestors thought to remove from our land all these nations who were really evil, who used to put children in a fire and like do all kind of crazy things. And look at us. We became just like those nations. We are just as bad. Man, we need to get rid of this. We need to get to rid the land of evil and reclaim this land for God. Now, if you were from the generation of Ezra, after the exile, you would say, oh, yeah, we're about to go back in the land. Let's not do what our ancestors did. Now, let's make sure we are devoted to God. But for us, as we are followers of Jesus, we don't have the promise. We don't have the promise of that land in the Middle East. We don't have to go and start wars to occupy a place. But we can know that God who has made these promises and kept it is the same who has called us to himself. And we might not have the promise of that land, but we have the promise from the Son of God. And that's what he says in John. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This is the promise of eternal life. That is the promise made to us who follow Christ. So in the same way that the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob could act based on that promise for the land, what those in Christ can act on that promise from Jesus. But we don't have to go and take possession, but we have to go and make disciples. Because the devil, what he has done, he has blinded and enslaved many who belong to God and has we live the ordinary Christian life, as we deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow Jesus, love one another, share the gospel, God is using us to claim back what belongs to Him. And this is what happens as we take actions that are based on the words God has spoken to us. But it's very important to note that these words have been misunderstood and misused by Christians in the past. You know, by going and taking possessions, some use those things to force Christianity on people and to attempt to create Christian nations. But they miss the big context, like from what we get in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. But sadly, people fought in the name of Jesus against flesh and blood. Now, some of this stuff resulted to some positive things for the gospel. But many people around today have a lot of resentment toward Christianity because of those things that were done. So preachers of, you know, atheism or Islam or any other anti-Christian group, they are still using those things that Christians have done to lie to young Christians or to lie to people about Christianity. So as we seek to take actions on the words that are spoken to us in Deuteronomy, we need to see that these words, we need to see these words in their biblical context, through the gospel, through their fulfillment in Christ. And this means that it will take more work to properly apply those words, to see that these words, to understand what these words calls us to do. But it is worth it, because God wants us to take action on this word. So we should delight on this work. Now maybe you're here today and you have not yet followed Jesus. Now you can do many things that the Bible commands. You can do many things that Christians do. You can pray prayers. You can quote the Bible. You can go to church. You can give money to church. But that would just be doing some very nice things with not much meaning if you haven't given your life to Jesus. So if this is you today, let me urge you to take the first action that God wants every human being on the planet to take. Renounce your evil ways and put your trust in Jesus. Now, have you done that? Well, if you haven't, do it now. Pray to Him now in your heart. Say to Him, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. That's what it takes. So, why should we bother listening to preaching to a book like Deuteronomy over the next few months? Well, our passage today gave us three reasons. First, we saw that these words recorded in Deuteronomy are words that are spoken to us, to followers of Christ today. Then we saw that these words are vital and relevant instruction to us. They teach us about our God. They instruct us, about ourselves. And lastly, we saw that these words call us to action. Those words require us to respond according to what God has already said and done. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for your word, that your word, the word you have spoken has created the world. Your word you have spoken have changed many things, have created nations, and the words you have spoken to people you've chosen many years ago, you are still speaking the same word to us today. And Father, we ask that you will help us as we'll be listening or even preaching, reading in our own time, from a book like Deuteronomy. Would you please help us to see not just Deuteronomy, but your own, the whole Word of God, the whole Bible has word that you are speaking to us today, and that that help us to see the relevance in this, the importance, and may we don't just merely listen to your word, but may we also take actions. We do what your word calls us to do. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.